this to the cloud, and then we'll go live shortly.
Okay.
There we go. I need to stop notifications coming up. On my computer. Hopefully it won't come up again.
Okay.
All right, we'll wait a few more minutes and then we'll bring in. Have you got much tutoring today?
Okay.
Quiet. Hold on,
Yeah.
let Helen in and Jeanette in. Good morning. Oh,
Sorry.
it's that chocolate croissant.
It
It
is.
oh yummy, that looks nice.
It's
How
been a
do
long morning.
you like
It's been a
cream?
long morning.
Is that your first chocolate croissant?
Of the morning, yes.
Okay, I was gonna
Wow,
say, because like when they come
yum.
in packs, like I'm not very good at opening a pack of biscuits and only eating one.
I've learned to buy smaller packs of biscuits because they all go.
Really good. Yeah, but the problem is if my children are around, I don't really get a look in. Like they're like that. Something tickled.
Have a distinct thing here. You put it up too high so they can't reach it, and you give one of your children an allergy so that they can't eat it. So then you have to
Yeah,
only have one.
true.
So
Not intentional.
I often walk into my kitchen and find my 6-year-old climbing
Oh, me too. Me too.
the worktops,
Yeah, same here.
the cupboards. He said to
Yeah,
me after
same
dinner
here.
last night, "What's for dessert?" And I said, "When do we do dessert during the week?" And he said, "Something sweet." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, he's talking like I am. Like this is not okay."
Fruit is the
And
answer.
I put everything up high, and he's like, "Take it. Oh, these look nice. And oh, this looks nice." I'm like, "That's not for now. That's not for you. Put it away. Put
We've
it."
gone down in the morning and found her, my 6-year-old, climbing and going for the stuff at the top, and she's the one with the allergy. So thankfully she's now had it. She's diagnosed about a year and a bit now, and she's very good at saying, "Is this safe for me?"
Oh, that's good. So we have kosher. So in the shops, if we're going to
Yeah.
Tesco and they pick something up and I go, "No, that's not kosher." And they're like, "But we had it at so-and-so's house." I'm like, "Oh, they must have had a kosher version of it, but this one's not kosher." And I do that all the time.
Oh no.
I do
We
it.
we're all gluten free, so it's no, you can't have that's got wheat in it.
Oh,
Oh
I'm gonna go live, if that's okay, in
yeah.
YouTube
Yep.
and LinkedIn. Is that okay with everyone?
Yes, yeah,
Let
sure.
me
Stop talking
let
about food.
Melody in.
Stop
It's
talking
fine.
about food.
Oh no, yeah, we can talk about food all day long. It's terrible.
I've met you
Yeah.
enough times like that now that we could talk about food all day long, and we probably would.
The Jewish mama in me. Hold on.
Once I
Okay.
have my kitchen back, I will be baking again. But I need to finish
Oh,
my kitchen.
lovely.
Okay.
Interesting.
Oh, you're live.
I'm live. We're live. Hi, Melody. Nice to see you this morning. Okay. Caroline's coming in. I'm just gonna wait a few more minutes as people join before we start. Hi, Caroline. Lovely to see you again. We can see you, Caroline. Can you see us?
Hello.
Hello, good morning. Good morning. This is very new for me because I don't normally do the QT lives or any of the lives. Helen's like, yep, you're absolutely right. She definitely doesn't do it. So
You contribute from the sidelines.
from the sidelines. I'm cheering from the sidelines, often joining. But today, Julia is at Disrupt Ed representing tutoring, and she's having an amazing morning so far. Invited half of the people there to maybe more than half, because my phone keeps beeping, to Love Tutoring Festival 5 in July, which will be amazing.
Wow, can't wait.
It will be fantastic. We've just got Anna joining and Kamal joining. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning.
Wonderful. Okay, I'm going to keep my eye on any participants joining. I'm going to attempt multitasking.
I'm going to make me co-host and then I can do that so you can just focus.
I just love qualified tutor. I absolutely love it. Everyone is so warm and welcoming. So, good morning. Welcome to QT Chats on Thursday, the 12th of October. As some of you may know, good morning. That's okay, no problem. You're here for as long as you're here. There'll be a recording. It'll be shared in the community. We are live on LinkedIn and YouTube. So QT Live today is about growth mindset. Now, before we go into it, I would like to just give you a small introduction to me. Some of you know me, some of you don't. I am not an educator by any means, shape or form. I'm not a teacher, I'm not a tutor. I came into qualified tutor about 18 months ago, and I am now co-founder with Julia. I came in to support Julia through adjusting what qualified tutor looks like. And my background is in business, people growth. I've built global teams for software companies, finance companies. You can take a look at my LinkedIn if you haven't already. You're very welcome to. But one of the things that I'm really, really passionate about is a growth mindset. It makes a difference on us having a good and a bad day. And there are some things that we're going to go through today for you to think about. Now, I have prepared some slides for us to walk through and an agenda, but I'm very happy to have conversations throughout the session and feel free to do so. Does anyone have any questions before we start?
No.
Wonderful. Okay. So let me share my screen with you. Well, it would be good if I actually shared my screen from the right slide, wouldn't it? Bear with me one moment. Just going to go back to the beginning. And then let's share this slideshow with you. It doesn't like me sharing it, and then share screen. Here we go. Share. View slideshow. There we go. Okay. So let's have a look at the agenda for today. So we're going to look at knowing you. It's really important that you understand yourself first in order to understand where the opportunity for growth is. In knowing you, it's also important to understand your why. If you know that your why, you'll be able to grow with success, and then understanding what success looks like to you. Some of you, success is, you know, being home for your family at 4 o'clock every single day. Other people, success looks like having £1 million in the bank. But there's no right or wrong. It's just knowing what's for you. And then we're going to look at I'm okay, you're okay. This is a model that I use in my consulting business. It's a model that I use when I coach people and mentor people. And it's a really, really important mindset shift. And it will help you through some situations. So you need to understand you in order to grow. How do you think? What type of thinker are you? Do you think more logically, or are you more creative? Now, naturally, you will have your preference. And often in our own personal development, we have to work on the other side of it. Now, as educators, you've probably seen this before and seen models that are similar to this before. Are you more thinking with the left side of your brain, or you're more thinking with the right side of the brain? Let's talk about why it's important to know what your preference is. Would anybody like to contribute? No?
When you're starting, you, especially when you're starting out, you need to be going down the side that's stronger for you to get going, to get the momentum started, to build on the strengths, all that sort of stuff. And then when you have got sort of the routines and the things moving along, then you can start to bring in, okay, I need to practice this weaker side a little bit more. I'm incredibly logical and not creative at all. So do the logical thing first, setting up systems, make it all work. And then I can go to, okay, let's start doing creative and social media posts and new things. And so, yeah, I know which one I'm weaker at and stronger at.
So, Helen, what's the danger of being more focused on your preference, on that logical side?
Oh, I won't see outside the box. I won't, like, yeah, it's very difficult to think outside of what's already been done. That's not a me type of person naturally. It's not my instinct is to step out.
What can be the consequence of that, Helen?
I don't grow.
You don't grow, or?
Don't bring in more money. Let's go practically here. If we're talking about, I'm not bringing in as much money.
You could miss an opportunity because you're so focused on, you know, making sure that the T's are crossed and the I's have got the dot on it. You actually miss an opportunity because you're so focused on the process. What's the danger? How many of you in the room are more left or more right ever on the creative side? Elizabeth, Anna, you want to share?
Hi, yes, I've been thinking about this picture here, and I identify with the right, but I am a very strong language person. So it's quite interesting how the language seems to be one of my strengths, even though everything manifests itself on the right side of things. Not that good with sense of time or logical science.
So interestingly, sometimes what happens is people become really quite focused, more focused on where they are struggling or where their opportunity is. So if I'm less creative, I then put all my effort in being creative, mm-hmm. and it's about having the balance of the two. We talk about in business and I'm sure in schools as well, you talk about the difference between management and leadership. Yeah. Management is more of, you know, the structure and the creating of the processes and, you know, tick boxing, whereas the leadership is about creating ideas and empowering others to do it and giving them the freedom, letting them use their imagination. And I would assume in tutoring, there's a balance of the two. Because you've got a child coming to you with a need. I need to pass an exam. I need to get into a school. I need to do a test. But they also need to do it in a way that's going to let them use their imagination in order to achieve it. But you still need to do it within a framework.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone got any examples of how they do it in their tutoring? How they have a balance between the left and the right? Because you'll have your students will come with this as well. No examples? I have a great example of how my six-year-old walks into the classroom. Caroline, were you going to say something?
Yes, I was. In fact, I've just got it ready for what I'm doing live in a few minutes, because I've been asked to talk about how children can learn to spell the tricky words that they've got because they don't follow a logical pattern in terms of their phonics. So I've just printed these things off, and they are only off Twinkle, to be fair, but they're fine. They work. So this is about using visuals and the creative side to solve something that's not quite as logical as the other stuff that they know. So I don't know whether it's left side and right side, but it kind of links things together. So it gives them a picture and it gives them a sentence as well to remember, a mnemonic. So they're linking lots of different things. So yeah, that's what I'm doing.
It's a great example. In about 20 minutes. You're adapting your style to ensure that it meets the needs of how that child learns. I know in the classroom, I really struggle to sit still, but I also love a spreadsheet. I love a spreadsheet because there's a logical side of it, and you end up trying to find that balance between the two. Hi, Barbara.
More on the introverted side, has that you can do that.
Okay, I think Barbara was having a conversation somewhere else. Well, let's move on to the next slide. Now, I want you to think about your why. Now, you don't need to share it, but what is your why? What motivates you? Is it money? Is it recognition? Is it helping others? Is it power? Fame, having a purpose, or being the best? It could be something else that's not on this list, but there'll be something that is your inner driver that motivates you every day to get up and be the tutor that you are. Just take a few minutes to think about what motivates you. If there's anybody that would like to share, I'd be very happy to hear what motivates you.
Yeah, for me, it's what I can do to help others improve. And by helping others, I feel I'm getting satisfaction as well. So that's what motivates me. Helping people achieve their potential as well.
Kamal, thank you so much for sharing. Now, as we share these and as we think about it, we'll have a look at behaviours, because what will then happen is what motivates you will impact on how you make a decision. So let's use you as an example. If your driver is to help others, when someone comes to you and says, oh, I really need some tutoring, Kamal, what do you specialise in?
I teach maths, English, so psychology.
Oh, wow.
Science.
Okay. So let's use the example of math. Kamal, I'm going to come to you and say, my 12-year-old really needs a maths tutor. Can you help me? Your automatic answer is what?
If I can fit it in, sure, yes.
Great, because your motivator is to help others. Then I say, oh, can't really afford it. Your decision making will become around, how can I help that person? And it then drives your decision making and your behaviors and how you react to something. If your motivator is money, then your decision will be totally different. Your thought process around it will be totally different. And I'm not saying one is right and one is wrong. That's not what this is about. But it's about you knowing what motivates you, because it then leads to your decision making in your business and for you personally. Does anyone have an example of decisions that they've made recently where they can see, oh my gosh, I can see why I made that decision? I have an example that I'll share with you. I do some work with a few charities. So I have, discounted rate, and that's how I work with them. And because my motivator is that it's split between two, one is purpose and the other is helping others. When they need more from me, I do more, but there's a consequence of it. because I say yes before I think about the fact that I need to cook my children dinner tonight. So the consequence is that I kind of forget that I've got four children at home and a husband that I need to go and make dinner for and make sure that there's food in the fridge. So sometimes those decisions will affect other things. Understanding if money is your motivator. I have a very, very good friend. Money's the motivator. They will miss opportunities to do something because they want to see the monetary today. But I can't give you that. We need to look at this, this, and this. But because the underlying is the money for today, not for long term, it can make their decision something different. Let's look on to the next slide. So why is it important to know your why? It will impact your decision making. Your goals will be aligned. If you know what your why is, you'll then align your goals around that. It will define your purpose and it will motivate the activities, even the mundane ones. So when you think about when you look at your business, you have your vision and you have your goals and you have your objectives. When everything's linked together, if you know what your why is, it will even make those mundane tasks easier to do. Does anyone have any questions on this? Do you all know your why? You can just put your hand up if you want. You know your why? You can nod. Okay. So when you understand your values, you can make decisions confidently, knowing that you have your own back. Now, I'm going to use QT as an example because that's what we all have in common here. QT has three values: be curious, be generous, and be reflective. So when Julia and I are making a decision for the business, that's what we look at. When we need to make a decision on what to do next, what event to go to, what event to run, how to run sessions, we look at these three elements. And as long as it sits in there, then we know if we're doing the right thing for our business, which is why your core values for your business is so important, which is why large corporations, small businesses all have a set of values that they work against. Now, for yourselves and your business, have you defined your values for how you work? As an independent tutor, as a tutoring business? Have you thought about what's important to you? Often you'll see things like integrity, openness and honesty, customer service, people first. There's lots of examples of values that are used. Teamwork, when you're working part of a larger organization or a business. How do you feel about these three values for QT? Do you see those as our values? Helen, you're nodding. We're a grassroots organization. So all of you are part of QT. We are one big family. Do you feel that these values shine through in what we do? Elizabeth's nodding. Helen was nodding. Okay.
I don't know if they're quite vague. They're quite could be vague. Can you just go back?
Curious, yeah, sure. Of course I can.
I mean, they could be vague. I mean, curious could be, I don't know, it could be anything. Anyone is curious. So I think generous. Yeah, yes, you are generous because you're giving lots of helpful advice and useful. Reflective, I think, yes, you are. I think you are reflective because you will be looking at new things and looking at new techniques. And
that's the key.
I think that's good. I think that I would say the reflective is the most important aspect.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Yeah. To give you an example of how we live these values, when I I do all the strategic partnerships for Qualified Tutor. So I go out and go and find the best brands and resources and tools for you guys to get the best deals and discounts. And when I meet partners, I'm curious, tell me all about you, because I want to understand what they have. And then I reflect thinking about the tutors and what our members really, really need. And then when we do a deal, we're generous. We're not going at it from a, like, I want to take everything from you. It's really fair. And with that generous piece, we work with total integrity. And that's an example of how we live those values with our partners. Does that make a bit more sense? Okay, great. So, Helen, how does this make you feel when you see this?
Both of them. Well, the one on the right is definitely more my brain at the moment.
Okay.
Definitely all over the place. And I think there's a rational side of me that knows that success is definitely going to be a wiggle and a wobble and a thing. The emotional side goes, no, I don't want it to be a wobble. I just want the success. I just want it to be smooth. And I know, yeah, there we go.
This is about expectation. So expectation for success is that it just goes, la, 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 very nice, thank you very much. And I can pay my bills at the end of the month. But actually, success doesn't look like that. Think about your home life. Think about success at home, what that looks like. It's like this. And then those of us that have children, it's like this. Yeah, but it's not that smooth line. And when you come into business, whether as an independent tutor or a tutoring organization, it doesn't look like this. And the hardest thing for our mindset is that because we've set an expectation that I open a business and then I do this, and then Helen, I can see that, I know the stuff that you're doing on social media, but in our expectation that we have is, I do social media, my sales will go up. That's not reality, because there is a building sense to it. And when we build, we create success. But when we build, we put the building blocks on. And, you know, sometimes some of those bricks are cracked and we need to replace it with something else. We might need to remove it and then put something else on. And that's okay. It's okay. But in our head, it's really hard to deal with that, because we've been brought up to believe that everything is like Disney, that everything, you know, is perfect. And that's not life. And it's certainly not business. So when you look at this model and you think about your tutoring business that you run, some days are easier and you have a bit more of a straight line. And then other days are not like that. But knowing what your goal is at the top, knowing what your why is, and then being able to build your business objectives around that will help you get there. Do you, when you set a goal, I know many of you have had business coaching. We look at SMART goals, right? You know, is it specific? Is it measurable? Is it accurate? Is it realistic? Has it got a timeline to it? When you look at being an entrepreneur, there's never a limit. It should bounce all the time. And your ultimate goal and vision is to infinity. Because with a growth mindset, we can go anywhere. You can do anything if you actually put your mind to it. Does anyone else freak out when they see this picture at the squiggly lines? Yeah, it's a hard one. It's hard to change that expectation. So this is what I really want to talk to you about today. This work came out in 1967. I was not born, just to clarify that. But it's a model that I have used for 20 years. It was first introduced to me when I ran the leadership training at Pizza Hut. And I developed it more and more, and I use it every single day. And I use it in my coaching that I do with business leaders and one-to-one. When I have a conversation with someone, I work really, really hard to stay in that green box. And this is about mindset. This is about growth. This is about thinking in that box to be able to get the most from it, from every situation that you go in. So if I put my mummy hat on, I often sit in, I'm okay, but you're not. There's a here. Yeah. I'm okay, but you're not. There's a spelling mistake in here. So what happens is I will say to my kids, you're not doing that right, because I'm right, you're wrong. I know better than you. When you go into a conversation with a parent, they may be coming into it with, you're okay, but I'm not. I don't know what to do with my child. I need your help. And with a growth mindset, you don't go into it saying, well, I'm okay, you're not. Of course, don't worry, don't worry. We need to go in here. I'm okay, you're okay. You bring that parent up with you to say, it's okay, and you're okay. Let's have a productive conversation. When I coach people and when I have a conversation with someone, I'll give you an example. Julia and I discuss everything QT. And often there's points where we don't agree, and that is absolutely fine. But we have the conversation in this box because we're coming at it from different angles, and that's okay. But it's a healthy conversation. It's not an argument, because behavior breeds behavior. If Helen and I have a conversation where she comes and talks to me, but she's coming from it, I'm okay, you're not, Odette. My natural reaction is, well, I'm okay and you're not. And that's where you get a feud. With everything we approach, we need to be in the I'm okay, you're okay box, because then we can actually grow each other. Now, QT is a grassroots organization. Helen, for example, has reached out to me, twice in the last 2 weeks with people for us to connect with, for things for us to do. Amazing, Helen, give me the information. I'm using my values, I'm curious, and then I'm generous. Helen, thank you so, so much. And then I go and have that conversation with that person. Now, that conversation may end up being not the right fit for us, but it also may be the perfect fit for us. But when I'm talking to somebody, when I'm in a conversation with somebody, I mean, I'm okay, you're okay. Many of you may have examples of this from if you were in school previously or in the wider world of work, where you've worked with a line manager that hasn't always been in, I'm okay, you're okay with you. Or your spouse is a good example that you can probably think of an example. I'm just going to stop sharing my screen because I want to change, because there's a spelling mistake on here. I just want to change the image on here, if that's okay. So I'm going to stop sharing for one moment while I just amend it. Have any of you seen the I'm okay, you're okay model before? No, never. It's used in coaching quite a lot. And as tutors, there are often points where I think many of you coach parents in making sure that they're okay and that their child's okay. And also you'll coach the children, even if you're an academic tutor focusing on a particular subject. Has anyone got any examples of where their natural may be? Some people are natural know-it-alls. Anyone? No? It's quite hard because you have to be really honest with yourself. I coached somebody recently that was going through a situation and they needed to see it from the point of view of somebody else. And by using I'm okay, you're okay with them, I didn't have all the answers, but as a coach, you ask questions. And this makes you think about the situation that you're in. I'm going to reshare my screen with you. It's a bit blurry. Let's have a go. You tell me if this is any good. Let's share it with you. Blurry. I'm okay, you're okay. Assertive. So by being in I'm okay, you're okay, you end up having an assertive conversation. When I'm okay and you're not okay, it's aggressive. When it's not I'm not okay, but you're okay, it's passive. And when it's I'm not okay, you're not okay, we're all confused. So as tutors, you are leaders in what you're doing with each student. And the growth mindset that you give to everybody that you speak to is really, really important. Has anyone got an example of maybe where they've had a conversation with a parent that was not in I'm okay, you're okay, and you got it to I'm okay, you're okay? What about a child? When your child comes to you, some of you will be parents. I get this with one of my daughters who is severely dyslexic. She comes in with, I'm not okay and you're not okay. She'll come in from school with some homework. She'll say to me, oh my gosh, I've got this homework. I don't know how we're going to do it, mummy. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And she's coming saying that I'm not going to be able to help her either. That she, in her head, the only person that's going to be able to help her is someone at school. So straight away, it's caused confusion and her head is all over the place. And I have to sit in that top right box. I have to respond to her with, I'm okay, you're okay. I have to respond with, it's okay. Okay, let's talk about it. Show me what it is first. Okay. So what are some of the things we can do? And we find a solution. We find a way to make it work. It's like, okay, we're gonna make it work. Okay, let's do this. And my approach is assertive with her. If I go into any of the other boxes, it's gonna be a disaster of a conversation. Think about a student that comes to you. How many of you help students with a piece of work that they've got to give in at school? Some homework, a project, an assignment. Thank you, Kamal. They're nervous. They're upset. They might be angry. But your job with a growth mindset is to move them into assertive. How do you do that? How do you do that in your position?
But the most important thing is to improve their self-esteem that they can do it. So quite often they've had previous experience of other teachers or, you know, negative experiences. And so then they're not okay. And because of that, I'm also not okay because I cannot work with them easily. But it, over time, I reassure them and get their confidence and their trust. And then I move towards assertive. Yeah.
Brilliant. I love that. So with reassurance, you move to the top right box of assertive by giving them confidence, by telling them that they can do it. Excellent. Anyone else?
Important thing I say is, okay, it doesn't matter if other people don't have faith in you, but you must have faith in yourself. That's important.
How do we do that? How do we do that, Kamal?
Just by reassuring them, by focusing on the positive things, by building up the, you know, the basic things that, you know, in math, for example, they may have struggled with the future, the next stage, because they didn't understand some basics, you know, adding or long division or something, and because of that they can't do the other thing. So with maths, everything is a building block. Once they get the basics, they can move on to the next stage.
So by giving them the confidence, giving them the tools, giving them the knowledge. Lovely.
I like to, when they come to me with a question that they can't do, particularly on maths as well, Kamal, so if they come to me with a question they can't do, or there's one that we notice in an assessment that we're doing of some variety that they struggle with, then we'll do similar ones, do the steps to it lots of times. And then without telling them, we'll go and do the same question that they struggled with at the end. So then I can turn around and go, look, you couldn't do it then. You can do it now. You've got it.
Can I ask you a question, Helen?
Yep.
When someone comes to you with not knowing the answer, do they come to you in the assertive box, or are they coming at you in one of the other boxes?
Probably the passive-y one.
Ah.
Because they're coming to me as an expert.
Yeah.
That I know what I'm doing, that I know maths, and they don't feel that way. They don't feel confident. They don't feel they know it. So they're not okay. But they're coming to me because they can see that I am.
Very nice. Do you find, as you build relationships with students, that the students move to I'm okay, you're okay, because of your responses, so that when they don't know the answer to something, they're not going, oh my gosh, I don't know the answer. They're like, Helen, I've got this one now. Now I don't know this. So they come at it from a more assertive position.
Yeah, the more the relationship is built, the more that they know that they can trust me, the more they will come, even if they don't know, they will come confident that we can get to know. And the time that they do spend in passive is less.
Helen, this is why tutoring is so important for children. It is so important. As a parent, I have one of my children tells me he's stupid because that's how he's been made to feel at school, because he didn't know something. So the response that he got from one of his teachers previously was, well, I'm okay, you're not. Why would you not know that? How do you not know that? You should know that. Why don't you know that? And because he's a little boy, we need our educators to move our children into the I'm okay, you're okay. There's always a solution. There's always a way to find a way out of something. And the I'm okay, you're okay model is required for every single one of our tutors in order to get the behavior, because behavior breeds behavior, into our children. Because within a more assertive approach to any situation, whether it's maths, psychology, English, a job interview, getting a bill that you need to pay, if we come at it from a different mindset, it's much easier to approach that situation. Have you got an example of when someone's cut you up in the car, those of you that drive? Who drives? Drive? What do you do when someone cuts you up? What's your reaction? What box are you in, Helen?
Oh, I'm in the aggressive one.
Okay.
Definitely in the aggressive one.
Kamal, which one are you in when someone cuts you up?
Oh, I think I'm probably passive.
Oh, you're passive?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, that you did something wrong. Oh, I must have done something wrong.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So it's really interesting because it changes our behavior. So when someone cuts you up, if you in your head are going, excuse me, okay, you're not. You just cut me up. You might say some choice words, shout out the window, give them a little wave. If in our head, that person may not have seen us. That person may be on the way to the hospital or an emergency doctor's appointment. We don't know what's going on in that person's life. But we make an assumption that I'm okay, you're not. Or, oh, I'm a nervous driver, it must have been me. But actually, if we were in the I'm okay, you're okay box, you'd say to that person, it's okay, don't worry, it's okay. And often they apologize. I know when I've cut people up, I, you know, quickly put my hazard lights on, put my hand up and say, I'm sorry. But it's our natural reaction to things. The person in the supermarket that's taking ages at the checkout and you're stuck behind them. Do you help them? Or do you get angry? When it's bin day and maybe you've asked your partner to take the rubbish out and they've not taken it out and then the bins are full for the rest of the week. I'm okay, you're not okay. You didn't take the bins out. Kind of, we'll find a solution. In business, we see more growth from people that are in I'm okay, you're okay. Because they're always solution orientated. You will always go and find an answer. It's never blocked. Does anyone have any questions about this model? I will expect many of you when I'm in contact with you, because when I use this model with people, they then start to be a bit cheeky and then start the conversation with, are you okay, Adair? Am I okay? Are you okay? Because they know that I use it. Because my natural is to give and to tell. So when someone has a problem, my natural reaction is to fix. I want to help someone. But actually, by being assertive and not thinking that the other person needs me, it's a much more productive solution. Helen, you spoke about people coming to you for advice. When people come to you for advice, that's wonderful, but we have to respond assertively in order to grow them and to have the longevity of it. Okay. So Questions about growth mindset. Who's got any questions? No questions. Nothing. What about behavior? What about how your values impact your behavior? Is there something that you do in your business that's stopping you to grow, that's capping your growth because of a value that you have? Go on, come on.
Yeah, how do you get to your values? How do you know they're right or wrong? Or I think that's the important thing. So how do you know whether it's right or whether they're correct? Are they useful for everyone? Are they productive? I mean, you can have a value that is subjective, but it may not help others. So how do you get it?
So give me an example of a subjective value.
It could be based on your own needs, on your own feelings. So I want to have integrity, but you know, other people may see, it doesn't really help me. How do I get anything out of it? You personally get the satisfaction of having integrity, but it may not help other people. So so it's a good value to have, but it may not benefit others.
So with integrity, if I'm running a business and I have integrity, what does that mean to my parents, my students? If I have integrity, how would I behave?
I turn up when I say I'm going to turn up. I do what I say I'm going to do.
Brilliant.
Don't help them to do coursework. I help them to do sort of adjacent, but I don't do the work for them.
That's lovely. But the key thing with integrity is I do what I say I'm going to do. So if you say to a parent, right, I'll do 12 till 1, you're there at 12 o'clock. You're probably there at 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 2, because you have total integrity. When you say to that parent, Kamal, I can just see you doing this because you said that one of your whys is helping others. It's okay. I'll just give them an extra 15 minutes. Don't worry. I'll just do it. I won't charge you for it. Let me just help you. That's okay. But that's also generous. But integrity means you're through and through. And you teach those values by behaving in those values. We can do a session on values if you want, because it definitely leads into behavior and how you run your business. If you look at Qualified Tutor, I've looked back at the recordings from Julia from 4 years ago, and her integrity is beyond amazing, which is why it was so easy for me to work with her, because she does what she says she's going to do. She follows through with absolutely everything. And when she doesn't, she gives herself a really hard time. So if she says she's going to call you, she'll call you. And if she calls you and she thinks it's late, she'll be apologizing. So integrity as a value is lovely, but you have to live by it. There's no point having a value that's not realistic. Does that answer your question?
Yes, I think, yes, it does. Yes. I mean, I'm saying your integrity is something that you personally would want, but you showed me that, you know, it benefits everyone, really. So yes, yeah. I can see that. I mean, I've said I'll be there at a certain time, I'm there, and then the student is not there, or I find that they are not behaving in the correct way. Maybe they're neglecting their family and things like that. But I mean, what do I do? I can't tell them how to run their life, really. So,
but what can you do in those scenarios where you might have, you know, a new student and they haven't shown, but the person's booked your time, that parent has booked the time with you, and your time is valuable. what would be some of the things that you could do in order to protect yourself using a growth mindset?
Just communicate, I guess. Communicate or whatever.
If you put yourself... sorry, go.
Yeah. I would just communicate and explain to them. But, you know, sometimes you can't, I just accepted, you know, get a variety of people. Some people are very conscientious and some people are, I mean, like one student I went to the house and there was no one there. And when I phoned the mother, I said, and I said, I'm here outside your front door. And she said, who are you? And I've been teaching him. What can he do? You know, I just accept that people have different standards and, in the end they're going to suffer for the consequences. They have this attitude as well. They will suffer, yeah.
I think if you think about the I'm okay, you're okay model, when these things happen, how you approach a situation, if you can be in the I'm okay, you're okay, you'll have an assertive conversation that then has a positive result. Whether that be that then they don't need you as a tutor anymore, that's okay, or that they're never late again. But there is an assertive conversation. Sorry, go on, Helen.
So we had a conversation about this in a wellbeing SEND session with qualified tutor a couple of weeks ago, where we can't change their behavior. It's their behavior. All we can do is model the correct behavior, what we would expect to see. And now that was particularly referring to dealing with students that have an additional need and what we would then expect from them. But if they can see how we're turning up on time and we are sticking to what we say, okay, I'm coming to teach at 4, we finish at 5. And if you stick to that, so if they're late, you still finish at 5. If you stick to your word, keep your integrity and model what you expect them to do, then they can hopefully start to see what's expected and to grow and come back to that. So it's not just an SEND thing, it's a wider thing.
Absolutely. That's a brilliant example, Helen, because as I mentioned before, behaviour breeds behaviour. So if I go, okay, they'll go, okay. But if I'm a leader in this space, which every single one of you are your own leader in your own space, you absolutely have to role model the behaviors you would want to see. If somebody says something inappropriate, we don't talk like that. But they've never heard you speak inappropriately. But when they do, you have to be assertive. And then carry on. Any other examples? Any other questions? I'm conscious it's 5 to 12. How have you found the session today? Thank you, Elizabeth. I got 2 thumbs up there.
Just to say in the chat, Melody just commented that this is the first year that she has had solid terms and conditions set out, including what will happen if a student doesn't turn up. And because she has modelled what she expects in that, she has had far fewer random cancellations and more people being respectful of her time. I'm the same. Now that I've got clear terms and conditions, a clear cancellation, a clear thing. And you can, under exceptional circumstances, waive it. It's your decision as the tutor to be generous at that point. I had a cancellation late notice yesterday, but because there was a death and I'm going, yeah, I'm not charging you for that one. That's fully acceptable and I will find it out. Yeah, being a yes person, it's really hard. You want to do everything you can for them, but you also have to set your own integrity, your own boundaries. So terms and conditions are definitely a helpful thing to have.
It's a tool. Terms and conditions are a tool. It's not often that people use contracts and terms and conditions because then you'll break the relationship. So it's about how you use those things and how you set out. So when you start working with somebody at the start, there is a relationship. I talk about tutoring as a service. You're not a product, you're a service. And every student that comes to you, you build a relationship with. And every single student that comes to you, from the moment you start communicating with the parent and with the student, you have to be that role model. Lovely. Thank you for your participation today. Thank you for attending Cutie Chats. I hope you've taken something away from this, and I hope it can help you in your own personal growth and how you approach situations. The I'm okay, you're okay model, you can have a look, you can just Google it and you'll see there's different models. I have it printed out and have it on my wall because it's always a reminder for me. And I, hand on heart, I have used it for over 20 years and I use it every single day. It's just become a way of my thinking to remind myself not to react in a way that's going to prevent growth for me or the other person. Wishing you a very, very safe and happy Thursday, and I look forward to seeing you all soon. Take care. I think I've stopped live streaming, haven't I, Helen? Oh, you're on mute.
You'd have thought by now I'd have learned how to do that one. I'm sorry, I am on two screens right now just to...
I saw. Thank you so much for your help. I really appreciate it.
No worries. Always happy. It's always, if you're the one delivering it, it's really hard to keep an eye on chat and participants. And
But that's why we're a grassroots organisation. Yeah. That's why we're in it together.
Always happy. If I'm in, just drop me a thing and make me co-host or whatever.
How did you find that session, Helen?
Yeah, it was good. It felt like a lot of just Kamal and myself and you, the others, but there's a lot of good comments in the chat about it was interesting to listen and it was their first time. So I was going to say, come and join us for more things.
I tend to find with tutors, and I've seen this a couple of times, when something new is presented, they need time to digest before they participate.
Yeah.
So I think... in reflection for me, if I was to do any of the stuff that I do outside in my world, I would send pre-read before.
Yeah, I don't think that a pre-read for this type of because it's more of a conversation is harder so to do because it's
just more... I think even just to have seen the I'm okay, you're okay model before.
Yeah.
I think
that's definitely a business thing. And as we know, most tutors aren't business people.
Yeah, but it's not. The I'm okay, you're okay model sits in business, but it also sits in how you are with your students.
Absolutely. It's just one, it's one that we're not so familiar with compared to other models, which we obviously see in education a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Good. All right. Thank you very much.
No worries.
Much appreciated.
Gotta go catch up on yesterday now.
Yeah, I need to do a bit of this.
No, day before, whenever it was, I couldn't make it. I gotta go catch up.